There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Jot this down. So the phone number, the text line, although somebody was on my case on my phone at my desk about encouraging text, and we'll get to that in a second. But if you are in a safe place, you are in car, in park, car off, get out of the car, walk to the other side of the parking lot, then you can text us at 343-0106. Also love to hear your voice at 343-0106. So that's how you get through to the show today. And a lot to talk about as we're moving forward, kind of, with the impeachment proceedings in the Senate today in Washington. We'll talk about that. Also, Montgomery in the news. We'll get to that in just a little bit. And my buddy Jeff Poor in studio today, which is pretty cool. It's not something that happens all the time.
Well, it's good to be here, though.
Yeah, it's good to have you in the studio. We'll talk about what you're in town for and what's coming up tomorrow. You can go in person or listen to it here at FM Talk 106.5. But I hate to put anything down the list, but I have to go to the top story. Top story of the day.
What's okay.
Mobile police arrested a man after he drove his SUV into a building in downtown Mobile Friday morning. Specifically, and this is Levi Edwards' story from AL.com, and we'll get an update from our news partners at WKRG in a second. Police arrived on the scene at approximately 1:11 a.m. in response to the report of a reckless driver. The accident occurred at Conti and Conception Street in downtown Mobile. Police say the driver, Jimmy Martin, 25, was located along with his 2006 Chevy Trailblazer. I remind you, make a note of the name of the vehicle, Trailblazer. In the middle of Conti Street, west of Joachim. So he was located in the middle of Conti Street, west of Joachim, when they found him. Now, let's go back to the... And by the way, Martin was arrested for driving under the influence. No injuries to human beings were reported, but it says the property damage... Here we go. Number one, 204 Conti Street was damaged, and that's probably the picture maybe you saw today. That is the Shannara Law Office. So I wonder,
oh my,
how that's going to work for Jimmy Martin, that it's the Shannara Law Office hit. Then property damage at 219 Conti Street. So we go from 204. Okay, so think about this, y'all. You know, you got odd and even, right? Depending on the side of the street you're
right
on. So you got a 204 and a 219. So he...
kind of like bumper cars or like a pinball machine or something, right?
Thank you. Because this is what I see when I read this stuff. This is where my mind goes. So he hits 204 Conti Street, does damage there to the Shannara Law Office. Then he hits 219 Conti Street, which means he's on down the street and he's across the street when he does it. A fence was taken out at Hargrove Engineering. Then a parking meter. Two parked vehicles were also hit. Two trees. Two light poles, and a fire hydrant. That's good point out. Okay, so we've now, the beginning of it is we take the vehicle from one side of the street to the other and on down the street before we hit another building. But then, you know, I need to get this queued up. I need to make this extra special because this is because now no one was hurt. So it's just property damage. So we can add this into the mix and give him a big... Not only the two buildings, the fence, one parking meter, two parked vehicles, two trees, two light poles, and a fire hydrant. So, ladies and gentlemen, the biggest of vehicular destruction of the last 24 hours, Jimmy Martin, 25, arrested, along with his 2006 Chevy Trailblazer. in the middle of Conti Street, west of Joachim. So there you go. Just, I wanted to, I know there's other things to talk about. We've got a lot of stuff going on in Washington, Montgomery, and, but
the Shannara Law Office.
Yes, let's talk about this.
So, could you hire him to represent you?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Will they be coming after him, or will they be representing, did they have somebody to walk out there in the destruction and say, by the way, if you need an attorney here, we can help you. We can help you out.
Or do they use the power of the Shannara Law Office to go after this individual?
That's a big question. Big question.
I would. That's the one.
They're probably going to talk to the people at 219 Conti Street, and probably the people at Hargrove Engineering, and the city for the parking meter, and the people who have the two park cars, and maybe tree people, the tree urban foresters or whatever, the two light poles, and a fire hydrant.
So city of Mobile.
Yeah, them and Hargrove, and then who's ever at 219 Conti. Y'all picture that as where, I don't have video of this, but I'm going to paint this picture in your mind. You hit 204 Conti Street, Shannara Law Office, then you got to go down to 219, which is on down and across the street. I don't know if in the process of that, you hit the fence, the parking meter, the two parked vehicles, the two trees, two light poles, and the fire hydrant. There you go, folks. We're just keeping you up to date on
sounds
that.
Sounds like a country music song. Joe Diffie, Welcome to Third Rock from the Sun.
Yes,
or chain of events that happens, and then it causes like pandemonium in the streets, and then you kind of circle back around.
You know what I picture? And like so many, this will be the second time this week with a reference to Smoking the Bandit, which is fine. It seems like the damage done by law enforcement when they're chasing the bandit. When they're going up on street signs and some parking meters and all that stuff getting knocked over,
ain't no way you my son.
Seems like if you look at the damage done, and we could roll through some of the video, I'm sure we can get Smoking the Bandit on YouTube, and we'll go through and see the total number of things destroyed by the vehicles in that. And it's probably a little bit more, but this guy did this in like a minute or two's time.
It changed, right? It's going to change the rest of his life.
Big time. Big time. Oh, now people are sending me, you're kidding me. Jeff, look here. Thank you, Dan. Dan has sent us video here through an Instagram feed. Here comes the vehicle. Here comes, that's not him. That's somebody not tearing out.
Oh, here he comes.
No.
I bet you wish you didn't drop that tic-tac in the center console there.
There you go. So just be careful out there, folks, especially if you're... Oh, no, he's backing up now. Look, here he comes. He's getting some more. He's getting another run at it.
Incredible.
He's going to make the turn this time. And there's that car. Oh, there's a light pole. There's a tree. Oh, my.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Look at the carnage. So before we just wrap this up,
he could have quit while he was ahead.
If y'all will see this video, we'll try to link it up. I'm trying to get it from Dan to link up here. If you watch it, he makes a bad turn, hits something, then he backs up and takes another bite at the apple and makes a turn again, and that's when it gets. Yeah, here he comes again in the loop. We got it in the loop right now. All right, we'll try to get that linked up. Dalton, maybe we can get linked up on the Facebook or somebody already has it up. I want people to see how this is going down and how you take out the...
Here he comes.
We're entranced by this.
Nothing like live radio with...
Just watching stuff. But this is something... That car... Oh, those two cars there. That's bad.
Oh.
Here he comes. And light post tree.
What are you doing, man?
There you go. I want to point out that the vehicle is a 2006 Chevy Trailblazer.
Impressive.
That's what they do.
It could create that kind of melee.
It's blazing a trail. And I point out, as we run to the news, 204 Conti Street damaged, 219 Conti Street damaged, a fence damaged, a parking meter, two parked cars, two trees, two light poles, and a fire hydrant. I call that a night's work. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
The So obviously I just was the one person around that did not have had not seen the video before I started the show today.
Don't feel bad. I hadn't
seen it either.
You hadn't seen it, so because now everybody else has sent us the video. It was something. If you're going to, somebody else pointed out too, I was thinking Smokey and the Bandit, the damage that law enforcement did in Smokey and the Bandit, but good point here from the text line, and who was this, who said, Chester said, or the Blues Brothers.
There's four Blues Brothers, yes. Yeah, the mall scene.
We could laugh about that. Nobody was hurt in this, so you could you feel okay as you watch this video and go, what in the... What caught my eyes when the story rolled out, and I saw it said the property damage, and I saw 204 Conti Street, and then I saw 209 Conti Street, and I mean 219 Conti. I said, so not only did we go down the street, we went to the other side.
Significantly down the street. Like, 14 to 9. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's a few parcels down.
Yeah, and that's... It's extended. Extended. All right. Lots to do on today's show. I got off the rails on that, which is kind of fun on a Friday. It's good also to have my buddy Jeff Poore in studio, of course, from Lanyap. He's working Lanyap, Yellowhammer, Breitbart News, and, of course, host of the Jeff Poore Show in Huntsville. That's going to air in Huntsville this afternoon, but it's going to be live from here in Mobile.
It'll be live from where I'm sitting or somewhere nearby.
Yeah, right here in the studio. So why are you here?
So tomorrow, Jeff Poore will be... I'll talk about myself in third person there.
All right, Bob Dole.
We'll be moderating the Baldwin County Republican Party's first congressional district debate.
Okay. So you are going on... get started in earnest at a little after 10 o'clock.
A little after 10 o'clock. Okay. We'll be carried live on a station you may be familiar with, FM Talk 106.5.
Heard of it. And if people want to, but you are inviting people to come out in person.
Yes, so it's at the Daffy Civic Center. It's open to the public.
So come out.
Come by, say hello.
Is it get there at 9:30 or get there right at 10?
I always approach these things like 15 minutes ahead of time. If you want to get there and mingle, have a cup of coffee, I think you can probably get there.
Okay, so get there, and then who? All the AL1 candidates on the line?
It's all the AL1 candidates. I think there'll be some other folks running for different offices, but it's we'll go down the candidates here. I'm sure you talked about Jerry Carl, John Castorani, Bill Hightower, Wes Lambert, and Chris Pringle will all be in attendance.
Let's talk about some of this, because there's some polling that was out that I was talking about yesterday with Todd Stacey, and talking about the AL1, what he's calling the three-man race. Okay, he gets the internal pollings from Representative Pringle's camp that has, according to the poll from the Pringle campaign, Bill Hightower 25%, Chris Pringle 15%, Jerry Carl 14%, 4% for other, and 42% undecided. And that's one thing. I mean, it's interesting. You've got Hightower, Pringle, Carl in that lineup. And just, I mean, it's just... just a small, I mean, 1% between Pringle and Carl, but a significant jump, you know, another 10% to where Bill Hightower is. And this is a poll coming from the Pringle campaign.
Well, I'm going to lean on you on this.
Okay.
Does it seem like these candidates are spending a lot of money?
Because
if you go to AL2, or the other side of the state,
yeah,
you see Jeff Coleman billboards from the Florida state line all the way to the devil's will get you if you don't go to church sign.
Right.
Everywhere. He raised his name ID 20 points with this billboard campaign, and it looks like he's going to win this thing. He went from 2% to now it looks like he's selling pretty solidly.
Yeah, so some of the candidates have been running here for a while, but not the carpet bomb. And I think it's probably going to be picking up here in the next couple weeks, heading to the March 3rd primary.
I think with 42% undecided,
well,
it's go time.
Okay, and that's part of it, because I wonder how much of this is because they're going to keep their powder dry for a runoff. You're looking at a scenario, if you had to paint a picture of runoff, this is it.
Well, here's the question.
25% Hightower, 15% Pringle, 14% Carl, but 42% undecided.
And but
And I don't know how undecided. Are they undecided because they just don't know any of the candidates? Or
I think,
undecided?
Yeah, it's a name ID thing.
Okay, so it's not that they're undecided because they're back and forth, and I don't know if it's Carl or if it's Pringle or Hightower. It's just because they don't know any of them.
Yeah, I haven't really followed this. I don't know who these people are. I need to read up on them more, then I can give
you a
better
answer.
Well,
then, yeah, then it is go time. The carpet bombing should start, and you know, it's not just self-serving for me.
Well, here's another question, though. Let's look up ballot at the Senate race. No one seems to be spending much time here either.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, because that's the consideration. Could this be, we know that Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee.
Right.
Could this be low turnout down here?
I don't think so. I think people will want to go vote, even though they'll say it's a sure thing. It's not, you know, obviously it's not, but they want to go do this. And you can say, well, they just wait, you know, for a general. But I think they want to go through the process of, for people for voting for, I do. And I have no way to like prove that. It's just a gut feeling.
Oh, well, let's look back at, I guess the best thing we could compare it to in Alabama, and I don't know this off the top of my head, would be the 2004 primary, because you had an incumbent Republican president in a Republican state.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably your best thing with turnout. Because I don't
what
think.
What was
people,
turnout then?
I don't know off the top of my head. But I'm just 18%, trying to think. If we're looking at historic
17%.
Data, It's got to be low.
I mean, it's been. It tell you what, until 2016, I made part of my living off making fun of the turnout in this state. You know that. I mean, I've been on that just absolutely anemic turnouts in the state. You may be right.
Because all the action is going to be on the Democrat, general, well, on the Democrat side.
And the people who want to vote for President Trump are, you know, they're going to be fired up for the general. They're going to be November. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be. Does it. You okay? If you have this, I think, yeah, I disagree. I think people may actually be more inclined to show up. AL1 is a big deal. It's a big deal.
It is, but I mean, we got to look at it now. That's different, because in 2004, you know, Joe Bonner, not really nothing really going on there. But I do think it's a little bit presumptuous to think that you're going to have a big turnout just because Donald Trump's on the ballot.
Well, it wouldn't be. I don't think it's presumptuous to think that would happen in the general, but it is presumptuous for the primary.
Primary, yes.
Yeah, and I'm being presumptuous because I think this AL1 thing is a big enough deal that it will bring people out. I think they will realize that. I mean, because that. It could actually be this reverse effect that's what drives people to the polls in March.
It was
more than voting for a rubber stamp for President Trump or some delegates.
So the 2004 primary in Alabama was in June. So everything had been settled.
Right, but that's before we moved the SEC primary stuff and moved everything up.
But
yeah,
for
back
all
in the day, y'all remember that. Yeah.
For what we're talking about here, it was in June, 17% turnout.
Okay, so you think we're, if it's that.
It won't be that low, but it still will be. I don't think you're going to get.
Do we break 25%?
That's a question. Everyone's assuming. We got show today.
I'm glad you bring this up, because I haven't even thought about the possibility of a very low turnout.
But it favors certain candidates. Like a Bradley Byrd down here, if he could turn out the vote, his vote, he has a path.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to these guys all the time. If you look at the Senate race, media market by media market, it's very tough for road ahead for him. If you start picking off counties and you look at it county by county by county, and you assume that he's going to do well here, which is a big question, because we don't know.
His name ID is through the roof here.
But he got Sessions, who's also a Mobile guy.
Yep.
Does that raise turnout up here? And the question, because you would think turnout would be good with a congressional race on the ballot, but 42% undecided tells me there's something going on there that people just aren't engaged. How long does that non-engagement last? There's a lot of things going on here, a lot of moving parts and pieces, trying to figure out who's winning and who isn't.
Well, I will say this. I didn't have the insight you did into it, but it did catch my attention, the undecided portion. And I, you know, while the way it's lined up here, it's looking like a runoff. If you apportion the other, if you take the 42% and distribute them, and they will break the way the people that have already broken, right? They're going to break one of three ways.
Let's assume that you, that's a
everybody
reflection.
Gets, right? You know, divide 42% by three, and everybody gets, you're looking at runoff.
But I think this is wide open. If it's going to be that low, I don't think 17%. I think, because in 2004, by June, the Democrats were the only ones doing anything. The Republicans already had their guy. You had some other down ballot races, but it was John Kerry. So I don't think that's necessarily a good reflection indicator what this will be. This is Trump, but I don't think you're going to get above like 50% or something. You're
not going to get 50%.
Right. So it's going to be low. Every dime counts more in a low turnout election, and just the work involved.
What about when Club for Growth comes in and starts swinging punches?
Club for Growth ever swayed an election?
I don't know. They've got a candidate, and they've got some money.
Well, they're working against one candidate.
That's right.
Got a candidate they're working for.
Yeah. Well, they're working for, and I would say against all others. So we're coming back. We'll talk about this. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. My buddy Jeff Poore in studio, and bounce around a couple things, but we'll talk to you as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. We're still watching in a continuing loop here the video from 1:11 a.m.
It makes me sad now that I've seen it.
It's because you're a better person than me. Because nobody was hurt. And one of my buddies texted in and made sure, you know, what would have happened if somebody had been on the street. I'm with you. That the first thing I had to clear. But once I realized nobody was hurt, I'm going to lampoon this for a while.
The night out went wrong.
Really wrong.
Yeah. It's really? Like he's sitting in the jail cell, and you hear the record scratch, and it's like you're probably wondering how I got here. And then we go back through the series of events.
Yeah, like something from a movie. Yeah, what happened when he got up yesterday morning, put on his shoes and socks, and got started with his day, and how it ended up. Let's be a cautionary tale. All right, we're talking, of course, with something you and I both love to talk about, and that's some Alabama politics, and looking at the AL1 race. Interesting, you talk about the AL2 race. This is a seat. This is the same situation there as it is at AL1. You have an uncontested seat,
right,
and Martha Roby stepping down, and you have somebody who you said came for. I don't want to use this word because I don't know if it's accurate. An obscure candidate. Rising, or tell me about
I would
this.
Say he's obscure. He is a player in Alabama politics. He's just not known by people. I mean, like, you could be a player in that world in Montgomery, but that doesn't necessarily make you well known. So, you look at this congressional district at AL2, it's just north of Birmingham, Prattville, there, Wetumpka, and then most of Montgomery. Montgomery split up kind of three ways, but a lot of Montgomery. And then it just the entire Wiregrass. When you're coming down, it's got Greenville. It's got Andalusia.
It gets close to us. I mean, there's people that are in AL2 that can listen. Somebody in AL2 can hear the station.
So it's a lot of ground, a lot of geography on in AL2. Really, though, Jeff Coleman, a businessman, movie company, multimillionaire.
Okay.
Essentially, he just said, well, I got to raise my name, buddy. What I do? He went Alexander Shannara on him. And he just...
blanketed.
He just picked every available billboard. He did like Richard Shelby did in 2016, where you could go in the state and not go 5 miles without seeing Richard Shelby's name on something.
Right.
And he succeeded.
And you're not just talking about government buildings.
No, I'm not. Which he's good at it, too, as well, apparently. But he raised his name ID... And now it looks like, because everyone kind of just assumed, well, it's going to be Troy King's. It's Troy King's to lose.
Right, because Troy had the name ID, but, you know.
And he did so well against Steve Marshall in the runoff. This is the only part in that part of the state, only part of the state that he won over Marshall. But the problem with King is he's not doing anything.
Right.
He's not raising money. No one's giving money. He's out and about a little bit. I've seen a few Troy King signs. Coleman is closing that gap. It still could very well be a Troy King, Jeff Coleman runoff, but I think you look at King's polling, and he's got some high unfavorables.
That's what I was going to get into. You have this thing with name ID. Often that sword has, you know, two blades, right? Sharp on both sides. That you have a high name ID, but you sometimes have high unfavorables with that same high name ID.
But the interesting thing to me about him, he is kind of, I mean, he's a interesting story, but he's liked in that part of the state. And if you take out the bingo stuff, mm-hmm. and the bingo wars, he was a passable attorney general because he was tough on crime. Crime went down. He's got a track record. I've talked to him twice.
He went after adult novelties.
He did, but, I mean, this is Alabama. And he talks the talk. I mean, he knows how to talk about Trump and the wall and, mm-hmm. you know, all the things that, you know, a lot of candidates want to get
in. But that's, tell me what Republicans aren't talking about that.
Well, I'm just saying, though, you wouldn't think, oh, well, you know, Troy King, what's he going to talk about? That's a wild card, who knows? But he's on message.
Right.
To know what it takes to win. And certainly.
But the Coleman is, too, right?
Coleman, yeah. Yeah, I've only talked to him one time on radio. And he definitely nails it. But I think, like, you could talk to these guys and they can tell you what you want to know about mm-hmm. Trump and why it's good, and they can blast out the talking points. Think of Troy King, it's a little more philosophical, mm-hmm. and he has, like, he could tie, like, an anecdote to it, and he could talk about it.
That's a valuable skill.
And I was surprised by that, because I expected him to say, right. MAGA, rah, right. rah, rah. Right. But no, it's like, this is why this is good for Alabama. This is why, and you know, it seems like common sense, but a lot of times in politics, people don't do things that make common sense, right? So I was pleasantly impressed by his ability in our 101.
You know, you're talking about AL2, but in the AL1 debate that your Republican primary debate you're hosting tomorrow, which, by the way, if you're just joining us, Jeff is in town, number one, because he likes to come down the Gulf Coast, but number two, you're hosting that debate live from the Daphne Civic Center tomorrow at 10 o'clock. It also will air live here at FM Talk 106.5. You know, you get in this situation, you talk about the being on message and the talking points and all that, and something I tried to do during our AL1 debate back in November, as best I could, is realize that with a few exceptions, people that are running in this cycle for AL1 are pretty much lined up on the president's policies, right?
I think so, yes.
So what I look for, and I don't just do this as somebody who hosts this show, I do this as just Sean Sullivan, Mobile guy. I try to figure out who's going to be better at do it. Okay, y'all all got the... You know, y'all got the skill set. Y'all graduated from the school, right? Everybody comes to me, you know, we got a, I need some welders, right? We're going to do a project. And they all have the certificate welding. But tell me why you're going to be better at implementing that skill set than somebody else. Why are you a better welder than somebody? You're all welders.
Well, here's the thing about welders.
Show me why you're a better welder.
The thing that's intriguing about this race is you have three guys that are the front runners, I think, that have all proven they can win an election.
Absolutely.
That's important. In AL2, Jeff Coleman's never run for anything. Jessica Taylor's never run for anything. You got Barry Moore, who was a state rep, and right. then you've got Troy King, who obviously won statewide.
Right.
You only have two of the five. I mean, you know.
Yeah, all three at the top, you know, Hightower, Pringle, and Carl have won.
Have won. They've held us an office. That's important. I think it's important to have won an election and show mm-hmm. that you could notch a W.
Yeah, fair enough. And then you go through. How are you going to take that to Washington? What's your plan? You know, and I get into that stuff because...
But you can't really... Here's the thing, Sean. I mean, they'll have the plan and they'll have the talking points, but you're a freshman member.
Well, that's what I mean.
Do what you're told.
Right, but and I like that. When people run through the top three, I have heard from two I know that have told me exactly that. They realize... They're fresh. They realize how important it is to get committee assignments.
Committee assignments, but also not making the wrong people upset with you. Don't be look. There's tracks.
You're preaching the choir on this.
Let's compare Matt Gaetz of Florida's first congressional district. He's not what you would probably ideally want, but he has made it work because he is. He has elevated himself to have a national presence.
Right.
He's able to raise money. He's able to do all these things to improve his standing in some way and have some leverage with the president to bring stuff back.
Absolutely.
But those are like the exception and not the rule. You probably are going to need somebody that's going to play by the rules, right?
Congressman Byrne got committee assignments from the time he walked in up there.
Because he knew that you got to go on to get along.
And that's how you get things done for the district. It's an interesting concept. We'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1248, FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com. Y'all say hello to Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and find out what's going on this Friday afternoon. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good, good. You're telling me Mickey and Minnie have paid a trip there to Mobile Bay Coins?
They did, and it's very ironic. So I looked online, and everybody, including the supplier I got these from, is still saying these are pending and awaiting shipment, and yet we have the 2020 Mickey and Minnie Mouse Disney coin here in stock in the shop. I think I've already sold almost half of the order that arrived. So they've been moving really, really quickly. I think you remember over Christmas that Fantasia coin sold out very quickly. I suspect Mickey and Minnie are going to go the same direction.
And talk to folks, too. That's one of the things that is pretty neat. If people say, well, I'd like to give a gift of precious metals maybe to grandchildren or children, you can do that at the same time you can give them that precious metal in something that they're into. It could be, like you said, Mickey or Minnie pop culture or different branches of the military. That's all available.
We try to keep a lot of different silver items in stock because a lot of the older adults want to buy silver to hedge against any economic downturn. They want to get their children and grandchildren into it. But sorry, you give a kid a piece of silver with some odd design on it, he goes, eh, and he throws it in the sock drawer, if you're lucky. You give them something with Mickey Mouse or with Darth Vader or John Wick, they go, ooh, that is cool. And now they're paying attention. Now you've got their attention, you can start to explain a little bit to them, and they might actually catch on.
Hey, speaking of which, what's going on with precious metals right now?
They climbed a little bit. I was sort of surprised. I expected overnight that things would get hot and heavy in the metals market. They bumped a little bit, did not do a whole lot. Gold around 1550 and silver hovering over 18 right now.
All right. Tell folks how to come out and check. They got to get out there quickly if they're going to get one of these Mickey or Minnie coins.
Yeah, they've been moving very quickly. We're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always go online and check us out at mobilebaycoins.com. Or if you want to see pictures of these, go on to Instagram or Facebook and check us out there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good weekend, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hanging out with my friend Jeff Poor from, of course, you read his work in Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN. He's going on at 2 o'clock today up there down in our neck of the woods because you got a debate tomorrow.
Got a debate tomorrow. Kind of doing some prep for that. You know, everything's... A lot of federal issues are the same, but every congressional district has their special things, and trying to make sure that got my I's dotted and my T's crossed, or my T's dotted and my I's crossed, or whatever, and are ready for the big event tomorrow.
Yeah, it's, of course, I'm sure people in districts all over the United States can say this, but this is my district, and it does seem like one that got a lot of, I mean, you think about what we have with Austal or what we have with, Airbus or ArcelorMittal and those big companies, international things going on here at the same time. And that's obviously important. Military contracts, just business contracts, a tariff issue. And then you look at it, the tariff issue could apply to somebody in the agricultural sector here. You know, you also have seafood, and you've got agriculture,
very important.
And you have tourism, and you have military. And I know there are other districts you probably argue why they're so unique and different, but AL1 to me really stands out.
But if you go poll somebody at AL1, you got to go way down the list, I think, to start hitting those, because right now it's immigration, impeachment, and you go down and down and down, and then you nailed it, and you drill down on that stuff.
But there's not a person... There's not a person running in the Republican primary for AL1 that would have voted to impeach President Trump. You can ask them. I'm gonna roll the dice and say there's not a one of them.
There's a wild card up there.
Yeah, there may be a wild, and but I would say even...
I suspect you're right, but...
Okay, so there's one. There's one thing. Then let's talk about immigration. There may be... I think there's an interesting discussion there where I listened for, I think, probably all, if not all, but one might say absolutely build the wall, you know, without question. The flip side that I heard in our debate I thought was interesting is the and go after those people hiring. And I don't hear that from every candidate all the time, but that's, you know, the say, okay, we're going to build the wall. Now, how are we going to, as we do that, we're going to disincentivize people hiring those people? Because that's, I think, is a two-part deal. And everybody seems to get focused just on the building the wall. But, you know, if you could magically wave a wand, you had your magic wand and you could make it to where there's no way an illegal immigrant could be employed at all in any shape or form in this country. Like, it just would never happen.
Well, I mean, but this more
then,
than just...
Then you would do... You would do 85-90% of what a wall would do.
It's more than just illegal immigration. It's legal immigration. It's and you know, like, low skill. I think everybody said, you know, that depresses wages. I would say there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that thinks we need these high skill workers coming
sure,
in. The high skill workers visa, coming in yeah. is fine as long as there is a need for them. But sometimes big business, the Chamber of Commerce types, mm-hmm. want to import high skill workers. So they don't have to pay a salary, mm-hmm. a high salary for high-skilled people that are already here. You always hear these stories like that, IT especially. Mm-hmm. And that's where you've got to drill that, I think, with the Republican candidates, because then maybe, perhaps, you have a little variation within the party. You gotta not just assume immigration is just the wall or whatever. There are specifics.
Well, there's illegal immigration, and the wall has nothing to do with legal immigration.
That's fine, nothing. But the wall is, you know,
it has nothing to do with legal immigration.
The wall is important. The wall is what people wanted. They see what's going on at the border. They see, and it's not just immigration with the wall. There is a border security component of just people transporting stuff across the wall.
Correct, and that's illegal.
But I think...
It deals with one thing, illegal traffic. It could be people, it could be drugs, it could be whatever.
Nobody in the Republican... If you are pro-illegal immigration, change parties.
Right.
You know, if you're like correct. Any of these people that don't think we need a wall and have open borders, go be a Democrat. You will be happier there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know.
But then you get to the nuancing that I think is interesting, because I am probably to the left of many on legal immigration. You know, I'm I think we should increase quotas. You know, I think we should have the people that yearn to do it correctly and come to this country. I'm an advocate. And so that puts me, you know, because I see them as completely different. A lot of people don't. They lump illegal immigration and legal immigration together. I do not.
Yeah, well,
I wonder how many of the candidates do.
But how nuanced have we've had these discussions, I suppose, is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into this, you know. If you were Sean Sullivan, candidate for AL1,
mm-hmm.
do we need to change our immigration laws?
Yes.
How so?
More legal immigration as you look at the quotas, the demand would be based on my percentages.
Who gets to decide that?
We would say we'd look at it in whatever, year to year or 10-year windows or whatever. And if we have Norway is allocated X number percentage of immigration, we don't ever fill that. But Mexico... It's filled up.
So you want to do it by nation?
Yeah.
Why? Because that gets into ethnicity. Why not?
No, not by demand. Yeah, nation by demand. Sure.
Right.
Like if we've allocated, you know, in quota for immigration to this country, to that country, and it's not being, they're not coming from there. But we know we've already said we can take this many immigrants because it's part of this total pie that we've cut up. You may change the slices to offer more to people that want to come.
The approach, I think, to immigration always should be what betters us, what betters the country. And if it's a quota, I don't necessarily think it's find that in a quota system.
People that do it correctly and yearn to come here and have that spirit, I think, improves the country. And that may be a key difference I have with a lot of people that are conservatives. You know, that want to limit, you know, I'm the last one in, let's close the door. I don't believe that. Now, but at the same time, I'm in a weird place because I'm hard and fast and as rock-ribbed on illegal immigration as it comes because it's the law of the land. You have to have rules to get into the country. You can't just let people in. But for legal immigration, people do the process correctly, I'm an advocate for them.
Fine, but the question is, what rules are you going to set forth for legal immigration? If I'm a software engineer and my wage is my salary is a certain thing, and all of a sudden there's a big push for more HB1 visas, more high-tech skill workers, I find that the government working against me. I don't want that. I think these are the kinds of questions you got to think about when you talk about legal immigration. Is it making me better? Now, I don't think we should have, you know, if it's something, if there's something where there's really a numbers game where you don't have enough of X, Y, and Z, then yes, we need to look at that. But I don't. I would argue that our federal immigration laws are not doing that. They're not doing their job. They're not serving the people that are already here in the way that they should. That's where people get upset. That's how you wind up with Donald Trump, who is, you know, essentially using a missile where he could use a little fly swatter with the walls, and you know where we're really people get that kind of reaction to it. Because immigration laws in this country do not serve the people that are here already that are natural born citizens.
But are they to serve individual natural born citizens, or are they here to serve the republic in the long term? I mean, that's, you know, get the best and brightest from.
That's a subjective call.
It's where all the fun is, in subjective calls. Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Our buddy Jeff Poore in studio. He's got a debate tomorrow. Love to see you there in person, starting at 10 at the Daphne Civic Center. If you can't catch it in person, you can always listen right here on FM Talk.